Welcome back to BNE. Without E, he is taking a couple days off. He'll be back on Monday. Mullet Open Week as we get ready to fire that bad boy up. And it wouldn't dare rain on the Mullet Open. Or the Mullet Open Week, as a matter of fact. It'll start getting really, really nice here Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. And it'll smooth get on through. We'll still be in the 80s. We won't be touching the 90s. And life will go on as usual here in the great state of Texas without this rain, because I'm done. I can truly say, as a gardener and a man of the earth, you know what I mean? As a man who puts his hand into Mother Earth on a daily basis, it's time. I'm done.
I actually was on the phone with you yesterday when the weather officially broke you. And yes, you were just watching your property get destroyed. And I felt terrible for you. But I was also glad to have you on my team now.
Yeah, I was a little distraught because of the fact that I had just, no more than 2 weeks ago, had paid some friends of mine. No, it was not Javier, but I paid some friends of mine to come by and do some work.
Did you meet them outside the Home Depot?
No, I did not do that. They are friends of mine, and they came by the house, and they get paid very well, as a matter of fact. But there was a 2-inch pipe that, you know, the way the water drains. I live on a hill, and, you know, the way the water drains, I said, this 2-inch pipe, because Jake and State Farm, the guys who come down and cut the grass.
SLP Lawn Care?
Yeah. They came in, they put a 2-inch pipe in there, and after a while, I said, oh, that's nice. You know, we had drizzle, we haven't had real rain, and I never thought that was going to work. So other dudes came in, we took the 2-inch pipe out of there, we put the big 4-incher in there, thick, mm-hmm. Went deep into the ground. Looks like, you know, when it first started this rain, really pretty the way the water and the way they had the stone set when the water came through the right way, and it didn't get to my crushed granite with my big stone in the middle there.
It looked like you were traipsing through the hills after a rainstorm.
Dude, I had everything going the right way. I had the water going in the right direction. Then Mother Nature, Mother Earth started to take over with this rain, and it was going whichever way it wanted. Not only did it go wherever it wanted to go, it then took the earth away from where the pipe was. And I looked out yesterday, when I was actually on the phone with you, standing there, and there's the huge exposed 4-incher, big, thick pipe, lots of girth, big and thick and round. And that thing, the water was going sideways from it. It already got plugged up from stones that this rainstorm had brought down from the hill behind me. And I kept thinking about, do you know what I just paid to have that done? And now I got to go, what am I going to get now? Am I going to get like a 12-inch pipe that's going to have to go into the ground? There's too many wires around that place from a new house that I didn't quite write down every spot where they come from.
I really felt like a really good TV play-by-play announcer in that moment, where I didn't want to say too much. I just wanted to let the moment speak for itself. And by the moment, I mean you.
Mm.
And I was really sad for you, because I know all of the work that you put in and the mental effort that you put in to try and figure out the best way to set things up out there.
Yes.
But unfortunately, or I guess fortunately in failure, you come to different conclusions. You learn from your mistakes, and you figure out how to do it the right way.
Yeah, when do I sell this house? Where's Christopher Waters? Yeah. How about if I get on flat ground, where the ground is flat, and I don't have to worry about water coming from a mountain from behind me?
Hey, at least you're not at the bottom of the hill. You're like halfway up, correct?
Yeah, but yeah, I'm halfway up. There's still some depth down below and behind me. I'm like right in the middle of the damn thing.
Yeah.
So it finds its ways to different spots, and I've used French drains, and I've done some stuff. And quite frankly, you know, stuff that's coming by the driveway, I did a good job with the French drain, got it in there even deeper, and I'm going to fill that in with some stones. But water and stones, guess what water does? They don't go directly through the stones. They make their different pathway, and they create another way to come down.
Yeah. You've heard the old Bruce Lee quote.
Huh?
Be like water.
I never heard. What does that mean?
Hold on a second. I'm going to need to pull the entire quote up for you.
You sound like BK, because BK makes up stuff. You've heard that from Bruce Lee, be like water. And I'm like, what does it mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, BK is citing old presidents, old dead presidents,
oh, okay,
talking about modern things.
All
it's
right.
A hilarious bit. But Bruce Lee really did talk about being like water. And the point of what it was that he was saying is you conform to whatever the conditions allow. And That's what water does. That's what the water did to you yesterday. You thought that you would be able to control the water?
Yes.
No, my friend, the water controls you.
Well, that pisses me off because now I've got a problem. Now somebody from irrigation is going to call me. I can get it done. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get out there and get this done. And I know one thing, crushed granite really looks pretty, but it doesn't. It really, it's got to be on flat ground. It can't be near where, and this crushed granite is away from where all this water is. It just
right.
went over the top of the lining and just went through it like crap through a goose. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It just is that way. So I got work to do. I got
more work to do.
I said this would be a 2-year plan with a new house. My gardening and what I want the grounds to look like is a 2-year deal. I told my wife happy anniversary to her again today. I told her it's a 2-year. She looked at me when I said 2 years. I know she thought, what the hell is this farmer almanac guy doing? It's going to take him 2 years to get the grounds of this house where you want it to get.
There's a trial and error to it, and you knew that. And
it costs money.
Yeah, I know it does. And she didn't realize that, unfortunately. She does now, though. She's taking what you're saying about cultivating the land much more seriously now.
Oh, she sees that, why does this man have to have 6 gardens? Why can't he have 1 garden and some roses here and some tomato plants here and call it quits? Why does he really think he's more than a lettuce rancher? I've got to have like 8 gardens on the property. First of all, I got a well now, so that makes me feel all big. I don't need a well anymore. I got more water than I can handle.
Yeah, that's true. You should be getting the rainwater collection devices that allows you to actually then not have to pay for water from the city of Dripping Springs or wherever you get it from.
I got a well. I don't pay any water.
Are you serious?
I don't pay any water. I got a well.
It takes care of everything.
Everything.
Wow.
Filter in the house. I don't drink well water. Sorry. I've never had a glass of water from a faucet in a house in 30 years since I've come here. I always have bottled water or I have a machine.
But you're showering in the well water.
I am, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's filtered for that, but I don't drink water from taps.
Hmm.
I don't know what that is. That's just me being a little aloof, probably.
Not necessarily. The public water supplies all around the country, really all around the world.
But it's not bad here.
Can be sketchy at best.
You know, they do a pretty good job in Austin area.
They do an okay job, but unless you're someplace that is legitimately getting their water like fresh off the
Colorado and places like that.
Like I lived in Oregon and the tap water there was incredible. And you could tell that it was, they put it through reverse osmosis and certainly there were a few other chemicals in there as well, but not to the degree that they have to try and purify the water in a place like Austin.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty far downstream. Or let's say Chicago where they're getting their drinking water from Chicago. Lake Michigan. Yeah. Or even like New York City, which claims to have some of the world's best public drinking water. Like, I'm sure you do, but
yeah,
you still get drinking water out of the tap.
Rat leg in it or something. No thanks.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
I'd be boiling that water before I drink that. Hey, can I share a letter with you that I received last couple weeks?
Trailing the Third has joined us. I want you to let you know that. You know he was going to come in here, and he's been in here for 2 days, unlike BK, who jumped out on me yesterday early in the morning.
I don't know if I would frame it that way if I were BK, but I'll let you spin the narrative the direction you want to. So I received this letter in the last couple of weeks, and I think it could incite a pretty interesting conversation. I talked with Chad about it on Shirts and Skins yesterday. I got this from a guy that I was friends with back in elementary school.
Okay.
So this would have been more than 30 years ago that we were hanging out regularly. Dear Trey, this letter is odd at best, but very necessary. I was reading a book recently. I know you like your books per your podcast. When I was convicted of something that I did in 5th or 6th grade, I stole some things from you and I need to make this right. As it turns out, I have what I stole from you, but I can't remember everything I took. Therefore, I've included all the good baseball and football cards I have to ensure that I'm giving you back what I took and more. Trey, please forgive me for this. It was not right, it was greedy, and it likely hurt you at some point when you determined these things were stolen. In fact, you may have known it was me all along. I'm very sorry. I hope this small action will turn my wrong into something better that your son can enjoy as he grows up. your friend Nathan. So this dude sent me a bunch of like Bo Jackson rookies.
We gotta take pictures
Troy
of that.
Aikman rookies, Dwight Gooden,
Emmett
Roger
Smith.
Clemens, Emmett Smith rookie cards, old George Brett cards, Kevin Brown card, Juan Gonzalez rookie card. That one's probably mine. Old Vince Coleman cards. Old rookie Barry Sanders cards, two of these, where he's got the Oklahoma State uniform on him.
Is there a way I can steal those from you?
Sure.
Now that you've gotten some of his?
Calvin's still a few years away. He won't miss them. I won't miss them either, but
what did you think about that? That's kind of cool.
The effort blew me away. I'll be honest, and I've been in touch with him since then. This is a guy that, again, I was friends with in elementary school. We went to junior high and high school together, but we weren't friends after elementary school. It's just people grow apart. It's how things work.
Right.
I have no recollection of this happening.
You know the dude, but you don't...
I know the dude. I don't remember ever feeling like I had cards that were stolen or that he had stolen my football and baseball cards. But it was still an incredibly... generous, genuine thing for him to do.
Interesting.
And I was blown away by that.
If you call him up, ask him if he's having any addiction problems, because, you know, in alcoholism and the big book there, you know, you have to go back and make amends to everybody that you wronged. You know what I'm saying?
If you
banged Suzette or something and she had a boyfriend or something like that, you got to call her up and say, hey, remember, you know, I really... was not the one who gave you the herpes, but I could have.
So he told me that he was, as he said in the letter, and we discussed this further, he actually gave me the title of the book. He was inspired by a book, and he's also somebody who is, and has been for a long time, very religious. Like in high school, he was one of the kids that hung out in we called him the church group.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's an addiction thing. I will ask him about that, though. It's a valid question.
Sure.
But it does... make you wonder, though, about the psychology of making a wrong right. And is there a point where it's too late to do that? Other than, let's say, like, you die and you can't do that anymore. Like, if you were to try and make a wrong right, in this case, it's 30 years down the road. Or if there's somebody that you've known for 50 years and you're like, man, I was a real jerk to this guy 50 years ago. I want to call them up and apologize for that.
No, I believe that's kind of within yourself. I don't think giving back things physically or material things that you give back to somebody is all, you know, it's not all that. I mean, that seems like almost self-gratification for you. You have to get that out. I have to give him something back. I have to give him a possession of mine to even that out. He was a kid. It's already evened out. There's nothing that he had to do from elementary school to make him feel like he did something wrong. I mean, at the time, it's like if you stole something from a store and your mom said, okay, we're walking our asses right back in this store. You're going to apologize. I'm going to give them money because you took this candy bar. That kind of stuff is okay. For somebody to go back and try to give you, to make amends for a bunch of different cards for maybe one thing, he probably doesn't even remember how much he took from you. He probably doesn't.
He admitted as much.
He doesn't even know what he took from you. I mean, all he has to do is, he can forgive, that guy can forgive himself. I got to believe there's something that he's done that he has to, yours is not the first. I'm going to say this, in my, you know, 20, going on 21 years of sobriety, this isn't the first amends that he's having to make.
That is interesting.
He's going back to make amends to a lot of different people. And if you...
And it's okay if...
I don't necessarily think... that makes you not get your, wherever you believe that you're going to go, your gateway to non-addiction or your gateway to heaven, that's going to now all of a sudden give you that. Now you, no, if it makes you feel good, that's great. But it shouldn't be the thing that brings you over the top to go back to elementary school. You're a kid.
So maybe an apology decades later is a little bit selfish, but I would also argue that it has the potential to bring a little bit of joy to the person that you're apologizing to. So in this instance, like, even though I really don't care about baseball or football cards, like, I'm sure there are some cards that are worth a couple bucks in here,
mm-hmm.
and I will give them to my son at some point, but that was besides the point for me, and I talked with him about this. Like, he gave me the positivity of, one, the humor of this situation, receiving a letter from somebody that I haven't been in touch with in 25 years since we were in high school and haven't been friends with for longer than that. The letter was amusing. It is also a fascinating conversation point, just in general, like when we're hanging out with our friends for family neighborhood night. We'll talk a little bit about it tonight. And then also to get to talk about it on the air. Like, all of those things are positives. And when I do share these cards with my son, I can share the lesson that comes along with that, too. Like, we have these cards because these cards may have been stolen from me back when I was closer to your age. But my question for you, as somebody who has gone through the apology tour that is required. Oh, you didn't?
Oh, no. Do you think I was going back to every girl from college to whatever and say, you know what, this was wrong at the time. I should have known better. Didn't try to have sex with you because we're in college and I didn't know you that well. We should have got to know each other better before we jumped in the rack. Do you seriously think...
Well, that doesn't require an apology. It's two people hooking up, right?
No. That would
unless you're R-ing them, which I don't think you are.
No, I'm saying a lot of those things are make amends. What am I supposed to do? Go back and try to make amends with my father that we didn't have a relationship with? Should I have gone back during my alcoholism and said, "Let's sit down and talk"? No,
I don't necessarily know if apologizing to your father is necessary. Was there anybody that you did say you were sorry to? As you were going through the early steps of recovery?
Not really.
Huh.
Not really, because I don't think I offended anybody except for the people in my family.
So you apologized to your family?
Well, yeah. I've been apologizing to my kids. I didn't have a problem saying I was wrong to my ex-wife and things like that. You're allowed to do those things. But there's nobody that I offended at some bar that I needed to go back and say, "Dude, I am so sorry that I didn't get you another drink."
Shoal Creek Saloon. I'm sorry how I acted prior to the show back on May 5th, 1998.
But there are those that will go back that far. They will read the blue book and go by the letter of the law and say, "I have to go back and make amends to these people that I've offended." Well, how the hell do I know who I offended? I mean... At the time, who the hell did I really offend? I've got to sit down and think about it and write a list of, well, did I offend it? No, he offended me first, and I got to check that off. No, we offended each other. We had offense, for sure, but I wasn't going to go back and do all those things. If I offended somebody, you know, that's between me and somebody else above. You know what I mean? Mm. If I didn't actually affect your life and hurt you and you've gone on to be whatever you've gone on to be, I'm not going to go back and make amends like that. I'm not going back to the store that I took a vest out of back in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and say, "You know, I took this vest from you when I was a kid. Here's the money for it." I'm not going to do that. I've made amends. I've in my mind, that was wrong. I'm apologetic in my mind for it. I'm apologetic to my Lord, but I'm not going back to see the store manager and say, "Here's $25." Oh, by the way, it was probably $15 back in that day. I don't feel like I need to do that.
Don't worry about the vest, because a former Texas football player paid you back for that one 40 years later.
Yeah, I just don't get it. It's up to you. This is a nice letter to you, but I guarantee you, you're not the first he's apologized. There's something that he's going back to do. Or maybe he's trying to do something with his son and make his son understand that's how important this is. Watch me put this letter in the folder. Watch me put these cards. I want you to see exactly what I'm doing. Watch this non-handwritten apology. That I'm sending back to Trey that I typed on my computer.
He did sign it, though.
He did sign it. Yes, he did. He did sign it. And then this is to make him feel good. It's not really do you feel good? What do you feel? I'm going to ask you this.
I'm amused. It was
amusing to you than anything.
It was a shining light of positivity for me and a guy that's usually pretty stoic about things. Like, as I said, I was amused by the letter.
Where down the line is this going to affect your life and the life that you're going to live and the life that you're going to share with your kids? Is there something in this that's a great lesson for you? Or is it not?
I mean, it causes me to reflect a little bit on people that I've wronged and anybody that I have or need to apologize to.
Like, very interesting.
I've had to make that apology before.
But you didn't need to write it out. I mean,
it wasn't. The circumstance is a little bit different because it was a family member and somebody that I still saw somewhat regularly. So I could actually speak with them face to face at a family reunion of all things and apologize for just... treating him like crap when we were kids. Mm-hmm. And I felt genuinely bad, and it's something that, just thinking back, it had a negative effect on him as kids. And it unfortunately affected the start of our adult relationship too, even as he still looked up to me. He was a younger cousin, and I was just a fat POS who did not treat him very well. And so I apologized to him for that. And I could see the weight of the world come off of his shoulders when I did that, which I was glad to see because I wanted to do that for him far more than I wanted to do it for me.
Well, I mean, back in my day in Pennsylvania, we all had, there was a special needs adult that used to want to hang out with us, that used to want to do things with us.
What, did you throw like rotten fruit and vegetables at him or something?
We did things that we would normally do, but I was a kid.
You didn't bake potato him, did you?
No, I didn't do stuff like that.
Okay.
But he was older. He was an older gentleman. And then as I looked back in my life and we kind of grew up and I said, those are horrible things. Mm. But I was, at that time, I was a kid. I was a horrible person. I mean, some kids are just, you just do things, peer pressure and things like that. Not every little group, everybody's a little goody-goody. You do things that you regret as you grow up. But this was that was a part of life. That was a part of growing to me. I don't feel like I need to go back and knock at the door, and he's no longer probably around. I don't feel like I need to go to the door and say, you know there, Babalu, I think here's what I need to do. His name was Babalu.
But, oh, gosh.
Or Robert. But
Wait a second. Did we have breaking news on the morning show today? Bucky used to bully Babalu, calling.
No, Babalu.
Babalu.
Not Babalu. Babalu.
From CBS Austin. Babalu. I thought Babalu was significantly younger than you. You're making it sound like he's much older than you. And you're saying that he's mentally challenged also. I don't agree with that. I think Babalu is younger than you, and he's smart.
We make mistakes as we go through from a certain time in our lives. And we try to get that so where we can get even with all of nature and everything that's around us and try to get on a level playing ground for everybody. I can't go back and you can't go back and start trying to make amends for something you did when you were 9 or 7. That's a part of growth. That's what growth is all about. And to go back, as the Blue Book says, the big Blue Book in addiction and all that stuff, and try to make amends to all those that you've offended, I think that's great for people that could do that. But I looked at that chapter and I went, this part is not going to work. This is not going to work because I don't know truly who I offended. And I don't want to ever leave somebody out that I offended because I've gone through trying to make an effort to do that. It's just part of growth.
It's interesting how opposed to this you are. I did not expect this response out of you, that you are adamantly against going back and apologizing to people.
I don't know if I'm against it. It's just a part of my life. It's just a part of growing up, growing one way or the other. I don't think I can go back and apologize for some of the stuff that I've done.
To each their own, and to your point, like, I gained some positivity out of this. Is it long-term positivity? I don't know. This is something that I'll think about years down the road and be amused by, but him apologizing to me didn't affect his standing with me one way or the other.
Yeah, man, life is... I've got to take a break, but I'll just say this. Life goes on. The only regret I ever have in my life is not having a relationship with my father. That's it.
Yeah, but...
That's it. That's
how much can you regret that? Because I feel like in that situation...
Because I think every young man should have a relationship with his father.
Can we revisit this on the other side, please? Because we need a break right now. There's a longer conversation
coming. All right, we'll be right back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome back to B&E. Trey Elling III here with me. We're talking life stuff right now. Of course, the sports stuff is that this baseball game, Trey, looks like I'm going to say it's going to get underway at 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's such great news, Bucky.
We want to get this thing going. We want to start this series. We want to play Southern, get this thing over with, and continue to move on. And as you noted to me during the break there, it's like 3 straight days of baseball, right? I mean, this isn't like you get a break, you don't play again until Sunday. You just keep on playing. You win, you play.
You win, you play, and if you win all the way to Sunday and win that game, then it's over. The only way it makes it to Monday is if everybody has a loss, or the two teams that are facing off in that final to see who moves on to the Super Regional.
Or we get rain delays.
Each has a loss. Or rain delays.
Yes.
And that is certainly possible considering what the weather has been the last 2 months around here.
What did you think of the choice in pitching your number two? As we talked to Coach yesterday.
I think it makes sense. The more I thought about it after you and I discussed it, and I actually said this on Shirts and Skins, Tristan Stevens seemed like the right choice there. As people pointed out, he's been the better pitcher over the last month or so.
A little better control. Keeping guys off the bases.
Better control. Well, not just keeping guys off the bases, but when they're on, he keeps them from running as much. He's one of the best in the Big 12, if not the country, at that. So I think all of those reasons lead to them selecting Tristan Stevens, which obviously they did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move. I'm probably not going to go any lower than that, but, you know, Hansen is just as good. I mean, that you got two twos, so it's hard to call one guy a three, one guy a two. You know, you do have a number one in Ty Madden, and quite frankly, I wouldn't have been upset if he said, well, we're going to keep our routine. We're just going to play baseball. We're going to keep our routine. But as we said yesterday to Coach, you've earned the number two seed to be able to maneuver this way. The teams that you play have not seen anything like they're going to see, whether it's Fairfield or Southern. They've not, or yeah. Wherever you play, they haven't seen this.
And look, you don't want to sleep on any opponent, but Texas yeah. Southern, record-wise in a lesser conference, is not nearly as good as you are. So you still have to play it smart, too. And you want to save a bigger gun for what will arguably be the second-best team in this pod, the team that wins the other game today.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't be looking ahead. You got to do what you have to do today. And I still believe if this game gets underway, this team will not have to worry about their starting pitcher after a couple innings anyway.
Let's go to the Specs text line real quick.
Okay.
Enough of this psychology lesson, immorality. Try talking sports for a change. Get out of here, you loser. Finally back to sports. Thought I was listening to audio of the Hallmark Channel. Well, guess what? We need to get back to the conversation that we were having at the end of the last segment. So you said that, what were you saying right before the commercial break there?
I'm talking about that, you know, about father, one of my greatest regrets is I never had a relationship with my father. Every young boy should have a relationship somehow, some way with their father.
I agree. The fatherly presence in a family with children cannot be overstated.
It cannot.
Children who grow up without fathers are more likely to become strippers or serial killers. That's not me saying this. That's not my opinion. That's science. So if you are a deadbeat dad out there, congratulations. Your kid is much more likely to be a serial killing stripper than they would have been with you around.
But once again, that's not an excuse for being something that you're not. There's things to be able to overcome. I just think the lessons and I'm not saying always you learn how to win from winning. You learn how to lose from losing. If you have a bad father, it doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? I can say every boy should have a relationship with his father. If you have a really bad father, think about this. Those relationships, that's not going to do anything. And I'm talking about a man in your life that does all the things as best he can. He's not perfect because nobody is perfect, but does things by the family for the health and the safety of the family, but does not make him perfect. He will have missteps along the way, just like we all have. But I don't think you can overstate that boys need to have a dad. A young boy needs to have somebody who's a father figure. Mine's were my coaches. Growing up, they had to be, and not all of them were good dudes, believe me. But there were lessons for me to be learned there, too. I don't think going out it's not excuses to go out in this world and have your older friends and things like that kind of raise you up when you hang out with them. You'll learn good from bad from there, but there'll be consequences through that. To have a good father around, to have a father around to talk to and not be afraid to go to that person and ask questions, and him not to be afraid to talk with you about some of the mistakes that he made in his life, that's hard to get. It's hard to get that kind of stuff. And it's hard to get those kind of lessons without that person around.
I agree really with is. That. But it's interesting that you regret not fostering more of a relationship with him before he died.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would argue that the opportunity to truly build that relationship, and yeah, you can make amends later in life, that's when people are the most impressionable, which is when you're children and when you're teenagers. And if you're the dad and you neglect the relationship through those years, the bar that you can clear in terms of having that relationship with your children as adults is much lower. I mean, there's still going to be love there. You are blood after all, and there are ways to apologize for not being around more or whatever. Mm-hmm. But those roots are planted when your kids are children. Starting out as babies, obviously, and then pre-adolescence. And adolescence is a slightly different story. I mean, physiologically, things change to where you're not supposed to be as inclined to want to be around one another as much. They're going through puberty. They start to stink. Their brains are going through all sorts of crazy, really rapid changes that it makes it very difficult for parents and offspring to get along.
In other words, but when you have the potential and you've got that those people around you for good or bad, it's for a kid to throw that off of a dad is really good. It's good. And as you said, you just said it, what it is. Historically, what can happen to you if you don't have that guy around? And you're going to learn. There are great people that have made it without a father. There are great people
Absolutely.
That have made it without a mother.
I didn't say you would be a serial killer and or stripper, but it increases the likelihood.
Right. I don't like leaning on excuses for why you became a murderer or why you became that, because those are things that you can overcome. But the likelihood, if you have a dad, I just think every young boy to have a dad is very, very important. I don't care if the dad was gone for 10 years and he came back in his life when he was 12 or 13 and he said, hey, this is what I had to do. This is the reason I did that. And because not all mom and dads get along. And it's not every dad's fault that disappears. Things are a two-way street at times.
In my life,
it just wasn't that way. I saw things that others, you know, being the oldest of eight, didn't see.
That is interesting that sports served as that sort of outlet for you to have those adult male role models where one was lacking at home. And it doesn't always have to be the biological dad necessarily.
No, my coach is a deadbeat dad,
but if that's the situation, hopefully there's somebody else that enters that child's life, whether it's a boyfriend who's like this truly good person, or a stepdad, or coaches, or in my case, my relationship with my dad wasn't great. I had my granddad to lean on at times, but we didn't have that day-to-day interaction that you get from having an actual father in the household.
That's why coaches are so important. And you know, the coaches that are out there coaching right now, and they're worried about wins and losses and how many state titles we have or how we do in the district. It's important to have coaches that need to understand that they're not helping you become, it's not about being winners, it's helping you in your life, it's helping you in that part of your life where you need to lean on that coach, where it's not about first down, it's about, so you did what and why did you do that? It's nice. I've had those people in my life. And now, like I said, they all weren't good. They all didn't care about me personally. They cared about how I was as an athlete. Man, you're this. You're going to be that. But I need to tell you something about this. And some of them didn't have time to listen to all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But there have been some great coaches in my life. And people were one of the great people that came into my life was John Makovic.
Hmm. John
Makovic was incredibly. He let me become a young coach. And he let me grow the way I needed to grow. He didn't have to put his finger, you know, on my head or in my chest to say, this isn't, you need to do this. You need to listen to me. I've been around a long time. He let me grow. And he would, you know, come into bring me in the office and say, so what do you think about this? And if I would say, this is what I think about the running backs. This is what I think about this. This is what I thought about how we played defensively. He took that stuff, and he let me run with it. He let me grow as a football coach. I learned a lot from him.
Well, you have John Makovic to thank in part for your life in Austin, because he obviously brought you here, and you could argue that his missteps as a coach led to you seeking out a different career.
Well, his missteps were the fact that he told me, I'm going to make sure this is the place that you and your family will love and you will cherish. And the first thing he said is, you will not find a better place to live than in Austin, Texas, and raise your family. You get to raise your biracial family in Austin, Texas. It's not like Champaign, Illinois, where your
Champaign, Urbana, man.
Where people left to go back because this wasn't working out or that wasn't working out, and they weren't the coach. Everybody respected you, but parts of your family they didn't respect. And when I came here, he knew I was alone for a year. And he said to me, he said, I wasn't going to come to Texas. If John McAvoy said, this is not, it's very shaky here. I don't know if this would be right for you to bring your entire family to the state of Texas.
Wait, did you test it out for a year before bringing your family down?
No. I came out right after the Sun Bowl. I came, okay. And John said, guess what? Bring them all. You're going to love this place. You're going to love everything about this place. You're going to love the people of this state. You're going to love the people around Austin, Texas. and your family is going to love it. And that's why 3 out of 4 of them still live in Austin, Texas, because that's a big deal for me. For that guy to do that, where he very easily could have said, I don't want this pressure of bringing a young coach here with a family, and it doesn't work out. So I respected his judgment, and I came here, and it was the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Interesting text from the Specs text line as we go to commercial break here. Phones and technology are also separating parents and kids. Not only are kids distracted by them, but parents are just as guilty.
Agreeable.
Guilty. I'm saying I myself am guilty at times of staring at the computer because there's one more thing to do for work, or one more stupid little video to watch. That is a problem. That's something that we as a society have to work through.
Well, the way I do it is still, you know, making amends and trying to do the best I can as a father to my kids for some of the mistakes I made. Alcoholism, how that disrupted the family, how that screwed up. I'm still trying to be the best dad I can be, and I want to be the best grandfather I can be. And community service is also a big deal to me. I can go and help some other people that may have not, even though I have never been misfortunate. I have never been on the wrong side of the street. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in a row house, but that's not on the wrong side of the street. I had a mother that worked all the time. She worked her ass off, got 8 kids through college because of her work and her smartness. I've never been on the wrong side of the street. Now, I made judgments that were shaky at times, but I was just a kid, and I made some of those as an adult. But I don't hold those. That's why community service to me is so important, because if I can help somebody else accomplish some things that I got to, good or bad decisions that I've made, that's me. That's a good thing.
That's you paying it forward and paying
got
it
to.
Back in a way.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. B and E, E's not here. Nice to have Trey Elling in the house.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Welcome back to B&E, of course. It is a Friday. Longhorn baseball about to happen here today at 1 o'clock. You know, we talked a little bit of football. We talked a lot of football. We talked a lot of Longhorn football, as a matter of fact, with BK this morning, and about this football team coming up. Trey, everybody's back. They're getting it all together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Summertime, the boys are back in town. And I was saying, man, I remember when you used to go home and coaches would say, hey, we'll see you in July. Nobody goes home anymore.
Coaches still get to take vacations right about now, though, correct?
This is a tough one because remember now, they're recruiting in the month of June.
Oh, that's right.
People are coming to your campus to see you officially in the month of June.
When the heck do these guys take breaks?
Dude, they're newcomers. They're trying to find, how about these guys trying to find houses?
Whew.
In a market here in Austin, Texas.
That is on fire.
Yeah, they have families that are in different parts of the country that are now done with school. They're coming here to be with their dads, and they're trying to find a house. You know what I mean? This moving is crazy. I only have to move twice in coaching, which was fantastic for me. I know coaches that have moved over close to 15 times in their careers, uprooting their family and going different places. And if this is your job forever and ever, guess what? You get fired. Your kids have to be pulled out of school, and dad, you got to go.
It's a slightly lesser version of the military lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, you have military brats. I'm sure there are coaching brats, too.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I've seen guys that that have, like I said, have moved 8, 9, 10 times, and that's what their families do. That's a part of the profession. That's a part of the family, is you're going to go where dad gets his job, and you're going to like it. You're going to have to go, whether it's go to Utah, or you're going to have to go to California. You may have to go to University of Maine in Bangor.
John Makovic was right. Austin is a jackpot.
Hell yeah, it was.
For the coach and for the family.
Yes.
Somebody's asking on the Specs text line if you still hear from Makovic from time to time.
Yeah, we had Makovic on about 5 years ago on this show, and he had just got done with, he had beat cancer. He had cancer. And he had just beat cancer, and it was rectal cancer. And I remember the first thing he said to me, he said, I was always a pain in the ass, wasn't I? And I looked at him, like, okay, John, yeah, you beat it. But were you a pain in the ass? Yes, you were at times.
Ironic.
Load up that blitz, folks, please. Yeah, it was kind of ironic. Yeah, I talked to him. I don't talk to him that often. I think he's in Arizona now.
Okay.
Living a life in Arizona. His kids, I think, still live in Austin, Texas. Little Johnny still lives here.
This texter says, I didn't grow up with a father. My coach, Ray Jackson Sr., helped me a lot coming up as a kid. R.I.P. to Coach Jackson from LBJ High School, Austin legend, Ray Jackson's father. Oh, his funeral's tomorrow, so he just died. RIP for sure. Shout him out, please. So there you go.
Shout out.
There's the shout out.
Yeah, Ray Jack Sr. is an absolute legend. He was at Bowie for a little stint, and I remember him telling me mad stories that I can't tell on air because FCC will get after us, but I know Ray Jackson was absolutely legend, and we definitely miss him.
No doubt about it. Coach Jackson, good man, no doubt. Got that blitz loaded up, Say? Let's get on with it.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
By the way, do not go down Fitzhugh. Don't go down Fitzhugh. You'll have to turn around. It's turn around, don't drown.
Oh, for no, sure, man. That's not good.
That water is over the top at the water crossing, for sure.
Are you going to be able to get back home after this?
Yeah, I just go the long way around, man. I did it this morning. The cones are up a mile before, which is nice when they put the cones up a mile before instead of when you get right down there to the moving water and you've got to find a way to turn around. Well, they had the cones up a mile, and I didn't even test it. All I did say, we're going to go this. I'm not even going to try it. 3 o'clock in the morning, if my ass goes over, there's nobody to come and get me.
Nope. Nobody will be driving by either for another 2 hours at least.
Yeah, I don't even attempt to do that stuff. I get nervous. All right, here we go with your blitz. First blitzer, you're up. Dead phone. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I don't know if this is anything to brag about, but that Klansman digger is proof positive that my Native American ancestors did have sex with the buffalo.
Here we go. Next blitzer, talk to us.
Hey, good morning. Is this B&E?
Yeah, it is.
It's 8:52 and OU still sucks. Oh. Get them, James Madison.
Did they lose their softball? Did they lose?
Yeah,
the undefeated great ones, really?
Yeah.
They went down? Wow. Next blitzer, you're up.
I remember that one time Trey asked Earl Thomas to do push-ups, and he's never been the same since.
Yeah, I haven't been the same since either, since I did the push-up, believe me. And no, we're not going to have a replay of that, even though I'm getting on the treadmill and starting to work out. I'm not doing another push-up again. And even Zay has said, your life has not been the same since you did that push-up. It has not. Next blitzer, you're up.
Bucky.
What's up, bud?
Say, man, I like to apologize for not being able to stop OU Mark from drinking all your lip. Because I was too drunk from drinking all your beer.
Yeah, you know what we got going on is the fair. Texas OU weekend, the fair is back, baby. Next blitzer, you're up. Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Now that y'all come around to my way of fathering children and taking a vested interest, you think we can get corporal punishment back in the school district?
Ooh, that's interesting. I don't know what is the ruler on the hand thing, like the nun? My nuns didn't have corporal. Theirs was always it was the real deal. Next blitzer,
boy, real quick. Okay, blitzer go. Then go I need ahead. To say something about Digger.
Hey Buck, this is Sean Watson, man. I couldn't call yesterday, but you got the number or address for that masseuse for Bastrop you were talking about?
No. I can't tell you about that, Deshaun. No thanks.
Digger was all out of sorts there. Did you hear that? He's not sure how to conduct himself now that he's been called out by so many people.
He'll get over it. Life goes on. He'll mature from it. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Makovic was a pushover. This is Tony Bracken.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man.
Because that is one of the hardest hits I've ever seen. Next blitzer, you're up.
Oh, dude, I didn't know blitz. My crudeness goes longer than 30 seconds.
Next blitzer, talk to us.
Be the better people and stop taking calls from Digger. But hey, Bev Kearney wanted to know where you stick your hands in.
It's Mother Earth that I stick my hands into.
Wow.
Mother Earth. Next blitzer, you're up.
The record speaks for itself. Remember that one year when I got it all wrong and I kept on telling you it was the offense, stupid? Everybody else was saying the defense. And then at the end of the year, they said, what? Oh, it's the offense.
Give number 5 the ball. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Digger, I'm going to kick your ass. It turns blue because there's nothing worse than a bigot like you.
Next blitzer, talk to us.
Yeah, Trey,
Yes.
You know why you got banned from me and why I blocked you. Quit stalking me. This is Ricky Williams.
Really don't.
By the way, we're going to get Ricky to talk with you. I'm working on that right now.
Really?
Yes. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yesterday when Trey talked about a letter from a family friend, I thought it was that nut job friend of yours that I've encountered the last few months.
Nut job? Are you serious?
Thank you very much. There you go.
I know what you're talking about.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky, I know a father's important, but dang, man, Trey got you to put a dress on. Are you kidding me?
Got me to put a dress on. Very nice. Next,
thank you, Donnie.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bucky, you want to go on a secret mission and get your real Don Ball back?
Yes.
Shut it down. Let's go home.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for being civil this morning. We do appreciate that. You did a pretty good job. By the way, two blitzes over the 2 days are pretty awesome. They really, really were. Even though Trey's been in here instigating things, everything's still fine with us. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Top of the hour coming up. Trey Elling joining me this morning.